Chapter 17. Sunday morning, Gloria had announced she was trying a new take on Eggs Benedict, with an Asian fusion twist, and it was a recipe one of the cutting-edge chefs in Hayes Valley gave away for a little extra PR, and for Chris not to be too hard on her if it didn't work out. And of course, each of Gloria's culinary presentations tended to outdo the last. And this was no exception. I might have told you this before, Chris said, but even if it wasn't incredible, I'd tell you it was. But no need for that here. Gloria said, "You're saying you lie then, on a semi-regular basis." "Not with you, no," Chris said. "You missed my whole point." "I understand," she said, and she wagged a finger at him, smiling, "like I know you're a naughty boy sometimes." But you could tell she believed him that he was loving this particular meal. Chris's phone rang, and for better or worse, it was Chandler, and you couldn't disrespect Gloria's work right in the middle of the action and excuse yourself for a moment, so Chris told him he'd call him back in 20 minutes. The "for better or worse" reaction was because Chris had forgotten by now, mostly, about getting in touch with Chandler from the rest stop off I-5 in Gold Hill, Oregon, on Thursday. In fact, he was mentally set to return to Manhattan Beach, either later today or first thing in the morning. His current measure of guilt for calling on Gloria once again was front and center. But meanwhile, dang, this Eggs Benedict concoction was something else. And why not another cup of fresh, dripped, organic Bali Blue Mountain dark bean coffee, which Gloria was coming over with at the moment, before worrying about that guy? Finally, Chris did excuse himself and went outside in Jackson and took a slow walk toward Arguello, where you turn into the Presidio. Chandler answered pretty quick and said, "Here's the scoop. Take it however you want." Limiting the details here, there is a recent record. Two guys, petty thefts, one taller, one shorter, Lower Marin County, some vandalism. Maybe it's car break-ins, to be honest. They did link them to employing a similar vehicle to the one you described. "Ah," Chris said. "The two fellows in question," Chandler said, "reside in Marin City." "Yeah, geez," Chris said. "Not a huge surprise, I guess. Marin City being an anomaly, a cluster of housing projects built in the 1950s in Lower Mill Valley that you saw from the freeway as you started up Waldo Grade toward the Golden Gate Bridge. Chandler's point earlier made sense, that black guys committing crimes in upscale Marin County likely would have come from one of the Bay Area urban centers, since there sure weren't many thug black guys living in Marin, with the exception maybe of Marin City. Chandler continued, "One of them, James Dupree, 22 years old, has been apprehended and detained since April 3rd. The other half of the pair is underage. No name on him. Spent 72 hours in juvenile hall in San Rafael, also from April 3rd. Anything else?" "No, wow. Thanks. Once again, what can I say?" Chris said. "Do they know which one was a taller one and which was a short guy?" "Give me a break," Chandler said. "That all?" Chris said he wouldn't bother him again. This should do it. And he added that Chandler didn't sound that great today, and hopefully not on account of this. And Chandler said, "Nah, his shoulder's giving him trouble, the damn bursitis again, and he hasn't been able to pick up a racket for a couple of days. And Chris said, "You'll be fine," and Chandler said, "How would you know?" And they wrapped things up. Gloria's friend Tina was having a get-together at her house in Lafayette, celebrating the renovation being finished, and even Gloria, who could spend money with the best of them, seemed to be rolling her eyes, pointing out that the house was already perfect, didn't need a darn thing. Anyhow, she invited Chris, said Tina's parties are always fun, and there might even be some people Chris would know from back in high school. that there are a few connections. Chris said that's okay. He's got it covered today. Going to keep it low key. And she made him promise he'd check in later. And Chris got in the car and drove to Marin City. The housing projects were hanging off the side of the hill in the eucalyptus trees, spaced out, and there was one road up there and one back down. But you had these flatlands at the bottom, and that's what Chris always thought of as Marin City, because there was a popular flea market there on the weekends. And it was one of those now, a perfectly fine Sunday afternoon, and it was dead here, and had been ever since they decided 15 years ago that the flea market didn't contribute enough to the local economy, considering the valuable space it wasted. And in all-American fashion, the Dodo Birds, on whatever commission, approved a commercial development that would rival the worst that a Gary, Indiana, for example, might have to offer. In any case, they did have a fast food joint, and Chris had zero appetite, but you could sit down in there at least and mull things over. Were you barking up the wrong tree here? And should you lick your wounds once and for all and forget it? The girl behind the counter was black, so you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to assume she was local, that she probably just walked down the hill to work. And as she was putting the lid on his iced tea, he asked if she was still in high school and where that would be that kids living around here would go. She said yes, she was, and she was talkative. That they hired you here at 15, younger than the In-N-Outs and Burger Kings, and it was a good opportunity, and her goal was to work up to district manager. Chris said, you don't need to manage this place first, don't you? Aren't you skipping a step? And she laughed and said that was true, but she liked to think ahead. Chris said, yeah, when it comes down to it, good to skip steps. And he repeated the question about the high school, and she answered that she and two of her friends go to TAM, and one goes to Redwood, and one goes to Santa Fe High. This pointed out, of course, that there wasn't a whole lot of population in Marin City, period. You had like four or five buildings up the hill, HUD apartments, and that was it. Yes, maybe they were adding a few more down below, but the bottom line was you'd only have a handful of minority kids in any given grade at any of these schools. Leaving San Rafael out of it, which was the furthest away and less likely, between TAM and Redwood, Chris knew them both a little bit, and he'd had the stint teaching in Terre Haute himself, 8 miles up the road. There wasn't a lot else to do about it today, unless you consider driving up to the projects themselves and banging on a couple doors like a fool and standing out for sure. And what would you ask exactly? So he drove over to Redwood, got the feel for it again. It hadn't changed or expanded much. It was still parking lot heavy, with the main school and gym set back and a bunch of temporary classrooms lined up near where the canal came through below the old railroad tracks, which were long gone in favor of a bike trail. Then he swung over to TAM. Older main structure, some character to it, up a lot of steps to get to the main entrance. This was on Miller Avenue, where it opened up and started curving around toward Almonte Boulevard. Chris figured there were probably many school bus runs from Marin City to both of them, Redwood and TAM, but if he had to guess, he'd side with the girl in the fast food place and play the percentages and put the hold-up kid going to TAM. You'd give it a shot anyhow. You were in it to this extent, not sure who you owed it to, but someone. Monday, Tamalpais High School let out at 2:26, just like it told you on the website, and the old clock tower read more like 2:40, but the chimes at least rang on time, and the spring 2018 crop of students started pouring down those front steps to Miller Avenue. One thing that hadn't changed, Chris noticed, and probably universal to every generation, was the kids tended to gravitate to the ones that looked like them. You could pick out the wannabe hippies, the cleaner-cut pre-yuppies, the jocks with the sunglasses and Nike shorts, the brainy group with the regular glasses and more disheveled appearance, and so on. And you had a small Hispanic cluster and a group of black kids getting onto a yellow school bus out front now, and another group hustling to catch up before the thing left without them, which was unlikely, but Chris remembered those days himself. You didn't screw around with your transportation. In the second group, Chris thought he spotted the tall kid who held him up, the shorter one apparently being the 22-year-old who they were holding and charging with something. But you weren't sure, and Chris got behind the yellow bus and followed it the 2.5 miles south to Marin City. The bus left everyone out on the sidewalk section of the service road, down below in the flats where the fast food place was, and Chris supposed it would be a little tricky for the buses, going all the way up top and having to negotiate something up there in order to get down. It worked fine, the lower drop-off, the kids were filing out, no one complaining, and most of them started off up the hill, and a few were heading to get something to eat probably. And meanwhile, two kids were walking the other way now, south, and geez, toward the freeway, 101, and the tall kid Chris had his eye on was one of them. Chris left the Malibu in the fast food parking lot and followed along. It was clear soon enough that the two guys heading in the direction of 101, which was zooming past 2 blocks away, meant they were likely going under the thing towards Sausalito. There really weren't any other options. On the Sausalito side, you had the northern finger of San Francisco Bay, and there was a waterfront. Not the touristy one in the main part of Sausalito, but a more blue-collar one here, with boat builders and welders and fiberglassers sprinkled in with a couple of fishermen's marinas. The two kids didn't go that far, though. They turned right, went a short block, turned right again into a neighborhood, and a half block left, and there was a city park with slides and swings and benches and some ducks running around, but also a full-length basketball court. Gee, they're going to play some ball, it looks like. That simple? Chris watched it unfold, and yeah, it was. The two guys called next, waited until the current game finished, picked the best 3 guys off the losing team to be on their team, exactly how Chris and his friends had always done it in the old days, and the winner would take on the next set of challengers. The kid wasn't bad. He could definitely leap, but his ball skills could use work, and the kid with him was the more complete player, though the probable robber kid had more upside to his game, Chris concluded. Meanwhile, this was going to go on for a while, a couple hours probably, and Chris went back and got the car so he'd be ready. Around 5:30, a fresh group of guys showed up, older, probably getting off work around now, and this was their routine. The earlier players had enough, most of them, and it seemed that included the two kids. But the new team needed an extra player and asked them, and you could see the other kid motion that he was going, and Chris's kid thought about it a second and shrugged and played the one more game. This innocent little tweak opened the door for Chris, and when the new game ended and the tall kid had rounded the first corner and was heading back to Bridgeway, the main drag that put you back under 101 and over to the Marin City projects, Chris pulled alongside and opened the passenger window and said to get in, please. He just wanted to talk to him a minute, clear the air about what happened. The kid looked at him like, who you kidding, honky? And he had on the tough guy scowl, but Chris could tell the kid knew, remembered. Chris said, either you're going to have to get in, my friend, or I'll have to figure out a way to run you over. And then I'll report you after that. And then we won't be good, which we can be in about 2 seconds if you get in. Chris, now giving him back his own medicine, laying the death stare on him which Chris wasn't bad at by now, having practiced a fair amount in the mirror. And there was a chance Chris really would have been true to his word and run the kid over. Who knows? And there was apparently enough there projected out that the kid picked up on and wasn't sure about either, that this white boy motherfucker just might be crazy enough to do it. So the kid reluctantly pulled the handle and got in and said, "Just so you know, mister, I didn't got nothing to do with it." "I know you didn't," Chris said, and he stepped on it and made the yellow light, and instead of the Marin City exit, he got on 101 North. And it had been a blur up there that evening, frankly. Chris didn't have straight anymore which one pulled the gun on him and who said what, though yeah, he did think it was the older guy, the shorter one, who pistol-whipped him in the side of the head. The specifics didn't really matter, and the kid said, "Where are you going?" "What's your name?" Chris said. The kid answered Tyson, not real loud, and Chris took the Blithedale exit and then the service road that bypassed some of the bullshit clog where the drivers kept trying to turn left, and then the shortcut he knew, Hanson Avenue, and you came out at the 2 a.m. club, the start of the road up to Mount Tam. "I just want to show you something, and then we got it covered," Chris said. "You have a nice vertical jump, by the way. You play high school ball, currently, or just pickup games?" Tyson didn't say anything. Chris said, "Which is fine, too. Sports are too organized now. First and foremost, you want to be having fun." Nothing from the kid. Chris said, "All this is, I just want to get my $60 back, and like I say, we move on. How much you got on you?" Tyson didn't even check. He said, "Shit, dude, I already told you. It weren't me that motherfucking janked you. Can you tell the other guy? Can you call him, get the money from him? Where is he? Let's go and see him then," Chris said. They were halfway up there now, the road getting steep, and the Bootjack Trail and its spinoffs were a couple miles further, and that's, of course, where Chris started off that night before making a careless turn a mile in and almost getting lost before surfacing in the parking lot of the other substantially lesser used trail and proceeding to run into Tyson and his bud, which they were coming to presently. And Chris put on his blinker, even though there was no traffic at all up here currently, and he turned into the lot and stuck it back near the restrooms where they pulled the gun on him. Tyson was shaking his head. You couldn't tell for sure if he was scared yet, but Chris figured he was. If I was him at this point, Chris was thinking, I'd consider making a break for it. Probably not back down the road, giving this insane white boy a real shot of running me over, but into the woods. Find me one of them trails. Chris said, if you open the door and run into the woods, you might make it, but if I find you in there, I'll shoot you and kill you. I will. Tyson's eyes glanced over and Chris was nodding his head. Not the fast nod, not the slow one, but the no doubt about it one. Chris said, you have a mom and dad together you live with or what? Nothing from Tyson. Because whether you do or not, I saw something out there on the court. It gave me optimism. You know what that is? No reaction. You can make it, Chris said. You got a spirit. There's a joy in you, if you can find it. That's the hard part, but it's there. Can't say the same for everyone. Nothing from Tyson, except he was licking his lips slightly now. You know what tough guys do? Chris said. Real ones? No answer. They respect themselves, Chris said. And that's not easy, he continued, but it's worth it, and you're going to get there. Nothing. Right, Chris said. Just agree with me. You don't even have to mean it, and we're done. Tyson turned. You fucking crazy, he said. Or how about this, Chris said. Smile. Just smile. You have it in you. I saw it on the court. Let me see it. Chris waited long enough, and Tyson contorted a smile. That wasn't one, Chris said. It was fake. Do it again. Come on. We got to get out of here. Tyson smiled again. It wasn't perfect, but it would do. Chris said, do you ever need help? Tyson didn't say anything. Here's my number, Chris said. He wrote it on a scrap of paper and handed it to the kid. If you do, Chris said, you call me. Never worry about it. When or where or what. You call me. Are we good? It was barely there, but Tyson gave a microscopic nod. Chris took a moment. Okay, he said. Out of the car. The kid was confused for a second, but did as he was told, and as he was shutting the door, Chris told him to take it easy on the way down and watch the traffic.